gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, where is he that is born King of the Jews? While we saw his star in the east and are come to worship him. It is written, then Herod privily called the wise men and learned of them exactly what time the star appeared. It is written, and they, having heard the king, went their way. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. It is written, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, all men raising, worshiping God on high. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Matthew chapter 2, the star. The story of the star is mentioned four times in Matthew chapter 2. The first time is in the second verse. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him. The second time is in the seventh verse. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. The third time is in the ninth verse. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. And the fourth time is in the tenth verse, which reads, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The first time was when the wise men saw the star while they were in the east. The gospel song says it for us. Star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. The wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king. It is to be remembered that the first question that God asked of the first Adam in the Old Testament, in the Garden of Eden, was when he said, Adam, where art thou? The first question that is asked of the second Adam in the New Testament was asked by the wise men when they said, where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have come to worship him. They called Jesus the king. He was the king. For one thing, he was born a king. He is called the king while he was in the cradle. Not only was he recognized as the king in the cradle, he was also recognized as the king on the cross. Pilate put up a sign on the cross that proclaimed him, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The king in the cradle and the king on the cross. But his kingship reaches out to another dimension. He is also called the King of the Church. "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." Then he said also, "My kingdom is not of this world." King in the cradle, king on the cross, king of the church, and he will also be king at his coming again. In the imagery of Revelation, he is seen at his return on a white horse, and on his thigh was written, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." The wise men wanted to find the king, and it seems they had gotten off the track. They wound up in Jerusalem instead of Bethlehem. "Where is the king to be found?" They went to King Herod, thinking that he might know. "Where is the newborn king?" The wise men needed more light on the subject. More light they would get. Herod called in the scribes and asked them about this king. The scribes knew exactly where to find the information. They quoted part of the scripture to King Herod, not all of it. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written, 'And thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, art in no wise least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor who shall be shepherd of my people Israel.'" Herod asked a Bible question, and he got a Bible answer. But he did not get all the answer, because the scribes knew better than to tell him the entire prophecy Micah had given. They left off the part about the governor who would be from everlasting to everlasting. If they had referred to his divinity, they might have lost their heads. Many are like the wise men today. They are seeking for Jesus sincerely, but they're looking for him in the wrong place. They need more light. They are somewhat off the track. Some today try to find Jesus in such places as the cross, on which the thief died. They need more light. The thief lived and died before Jesus died on the cross and arose from the dead. The thief lived and died under the old law. The only way you could be saved like the thief would be to go back in time before Jesus died for you. You need more light. Some try to find Jesus in the place of prayer. Saul of Tarsus could not find salvation by prayer, by asking God to forgive him. Even after praying 3 days and 3 nights, he needed more light. He had seen the great light, and the light told him to go to Damascus, and there it would be told him what to do. There was something he needed to do. Not until Ananias came and told this believing, repentant man to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins did he find salvation. If he was saved before he was baptized, he was saved before his sins were forgiven. Many, like the wise men, are looking for Jesus in the wrong place. Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was all shook up by a baby. Jesus had not yet worked one single miracle, and Herod was all shook up. Jesus had not yet raised the dead or preached a single sermon, and Herod was all shook up. No word had been spoken to a lost and dying world, and Herod was all shook up. Herod was all shook up by the Lord in the cradle. What will it be like when he sees him, as Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believed, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. When Jesus came the first time, aside from a very few, Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, wise men, Anna, and Simeon, most everyone else was troubled at his arrival. How would it be with you if Jesus would return today? When he returns the second time, many will be troubled. All the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him. How will it be with you if he should come today? Would I be glad? Real glad, knowing he died for all, and none through me had heard his call. Now the second mention of the star was when Herod called unto him the wise men privately. Herod asked the wise men what time the star appeared. Herod obviously believed the scripture. He believed that the Christ had come. Believing it, he had no intentions of accepting the truth and applying it to his life. What the Lord wanted did not fit in his lifestyle. There is many a Herod in the audience today. People who believe the gospel truth, but no affirmative decision will be made. Some of you love your booze, your drugs, your denominational, your parents, religion. There's always something that keeps a person from obedience to the truth. So he inquired, what time the star appeared? He sent them to find out exactly concerning the young child. Neither Herod nor the scribes went with the wise men. They knew and believed the scripture, but there was a gap between their knowledge and their performance. The prophecy said that the newborn king would be governor of his people. That was the breakdown between their knowledge and their performance. Herod did not want a governor over him. It is the same problem now. In the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter laid it on the line when he said in the 36th verse of the second chapter, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Many today want a Savior. They want a Messiah, but they don't want a Lord. Jesus not only wants to be your Savior, he wants to be your Lord as well. He wants to be able to tell you what to do, what to say, how to live. He wants to give thrust to your life. If we tell the world that we believe that the Scripture teaching is the observance of the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day, may there be no gap in our belief and our performance. Let the world find us on the Lord's Day at the Lord's table and not somewhere else. Remember, the Lord wants to be your governor, though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born. If he's not born in thee, thy soul is still forlorn. Now the third mention of the star is when it says, and they having heard the king went their way. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, and came and stood over the place where the young child was. Many explanations have been given regarding the star. One of the most popular is that there was a conjunction of planets before that time, of the planets Mars, Jupiter, and Venus. They supposedly were lined up in such a way as to look like one gigantic star. But this explanation just won't work. Suppose all the planets in our solar system were lined up in such a way as to form one gigantic superstar. Think of Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and so on, so arranged in the heavens that they look like one glorious celestial light. There would be no way and one glaring reason why such a sight as that could not have guided the wise men. Even such a star like that would not stand over any particular house, but over all the houses in the country indiscriminately. It would stand over every house in Bethlehem and Jerusalem and over every house in all the area. There's no way that such a heavenly sight could fit the scriptural account. The star that they had seen in the east went before them and stood over the place where the young child was. There's no way that astronomers today could find that star that guided the wise men. It was a special star used of God for this great event of the birth of Jesus. Not even could the star be found with the Hubble telescope that was first discovered in 1996. By using this telescope, the astronomers were amazed, stupefied, surprised, flabbergasted, astonished, astounded, dazzled, dumbfounded, overwhelmed, startled, and stunned to find out that the number of galaxies in the universe was far greater than anyone ever imagined, fancied, thought, visualized, assumed, supposed, guessed, surmised, or presumed to be. They might see stars never seen before, but with the Hubble telescope they could not find the star that guided the wise men. They used to say there were about 10 billion galaxies. Now they have upped the ante and are saying make it 50 billion galaxies. Each galaxy, they say, has 50 billion to 100 billion stars. My reaction to such news is wowie, zowie, powie, and zowie. We have come to the conclusion that we need to think of the Bible and the church in a similar way. By looking through the telescope of faith, we can see the bright and morning star. We can see that the importance of the Bible and the church is far greater, wider, deeper, richer than we ever dreamed, thought, or surmised before. It reaches up to the highest point of the third heaven. It reaches down to the lowest point of hell. It reaches out to the east and the west, and that distance is immeasurable because never the twain shall meet. The Hubble telescope cannot see that far. Then, too, we have to admit we have been short-sighted regarding this radio broadcast. In the United States, it is heard from sea to shining sea. In addition to this, it is heard in many parts of Africa, Europe, and Asia, and around the world. But by taking another look through the telescope of faith, we now know that it is heard in the third heaven. Think of it. It is heard by an innumerable host of angels, not to mention the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then, too, turn the telescope of faith in another direction, and you can see that the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places hears it. The devil himself hears this broadcast every week. If he's too busy to listen, he gets a full report every Monday morning from whatever demon has been assigned to ride herd on me. Now at this point, the wise men had a problem. Some great mystery they could not understand. It must have baffled them no end. I refer to the statement that the star stood over the place where the young child was. Think of their amazement as they knocked on the door. Joseph opened and welcomed them. The wise men said, "Is this it? Is this the place?" Joseph says, "You have come to the right place." One of the wise men, I don't know which one it was, said, "This doesn't look like the right place. On all the Christmas cards I have received, there should be a manger and some cattle and some shepherds. If this is the right place, please explain where the shepherds are. And there ought also to be some angels flying overhead." "We don't see any one. Why isn't the choir singing, Silent Night, Holy Night?" It was at this point that Joseph told them, "If you gentlemen want to get your spiritual guidance from Christmas cards, No wonder you had a hard time finding us. The shepherds have been here and gone long ago. Maybe a couple of years ago. They moved out of the stable, and we have been in this house for some time now. The star went before them and stood over the place where the young child was. The star did not go past Bethlehem, nor did it fall short of Bethlehem, nor did it go to the right or the left of Bethlehem. It came to the place smack dab on the spot over the house, not the manger, over the house where the young child was. And that brings us to the mention of the fourth mention of the star. The fourth mention of the star was when they saw the star with exceeding great joy. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. It says they worshipped him. They did not worship her. They worshipped him. And they offered unto him gifts. Did they give him a rattle? A pacifier? Did a teddy bear? Who in their right mind would give any child gold, frankincense, and myrrh? What could a young child like Jesus do with such gifts as that? Do you really believe they gave him stuff like that? Perhaps as we read what they really gave, we ought to revamp our giving ideas. The reason they gave what they gave, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, was because they were wise men and not dumb men. How about giving young people a good example? One high school student who came to school drunk was asked how she got booze to get drunk at 7 o'clock in the morning. She says she got it out of the refrigerator at home. That may be the best gift some of you could give your kids. Pour your booze down the drain. How about giving yourself as a stocking stuffer some self-respect? The greatest gift of all is the gift of yourself. An example of the kind of giving that counts is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this they did regarding the poor churches of Macedonia who gave beyond their means. Some people today live beyond their means, but that church in Macedonia gave beyond their means. The secret of their generosity was they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. The greatest gift you can give is give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ as the greatest gift of all. Now, in conclusion, hear it again. There are four times a star is mentioned in chapter 2 of Matthew. We saw the star in the east. Second, they saw when the star appeared. And the third was the star went before them. The fourth was when they saw the star and rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Someone wiser than I has said, the star road is the fairest road that ever you will follow. It winds as sweetly as a song through desert and through hollow. It leads us up high mountain peaks and into promised lands. At the end, a baby waits with tiny outflung hands. The star road is the straightest road, although it climbs and dips. But always there's a garden spot, a spring for parching lips. There always is a bit of shade when midday gilds the skies, and at the end a mother waits with wonder in her eyes. Oh, you who travel on that road, the starlight has made bright, need never fear the crash of storms, the tumult of the night, for through the crowding centuries the angels' voices call, then at the end the Savior waits, a haven for us all. Heard another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The God Is Just Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bozeman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.